KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action, stories of community service from the campus of Fresno State, with host Chris Fiorentino on Fresno State Radio, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome to Fresno State Service in Action. I'm Chris Fiorentino and I have the pleasure of hosting this show every week and bringing these really wonderful stories of how Fresno State students, our employees, our community partners are all helping to provide over 1 million hours of service each year. Today, we're going to be talking about a service learning class out of the Media, Communication, and Journalism Department. This class, in its current service learning format, has been around for well over 6 years, and it is the MCJ-118S, or the Corporate and Nonprofit Media Projects course. The creator and the instructor of the course, Professor Candace Egan, is here with us today. Candace, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Chris.
So we'll ask all of our guests and introduce everybody in turn, but maybe, Candace, you'd start us off by doing a little self-introduction.
All right. So I've been at Fresno State for a long time, so trying to make it brief. But I've started teaching here in 2004, but I've been an employee since 1986. So I'm getting
by a few years.
Yeah, I'm getting to be one of those few people that's been here for a long time. Yeah. But yeah, and I have my degrees from Fresno State as well.
Great. Well, welcome back. And Candace has been on the show before, and we're happy you're here. Joining Candace is Pat Riddlesberger. Pat is from Fresno Unified. He is the athletic manager. He'll explain that a little bit. But Pat, welcome to the show, and maybe you'd give us a little self-introduction.
Good morning. Pat Riddlesberger. I'm the athletic manager for Fresno Unified School District. I think I just graduated the honeymoon phase in this position. I'm working on year four, and this is actually our third year working with Candace doing projects, so it's been a wonderful marriage.
Yeah, and we're going to talk a little about Fresno Unified's athletics program and what the athletic manager for the district does, all in good time. Finally, we have two students here in the studio. These are both students in the MCJ-118S class. Rebecca Becca Colburn is with us, as well as Brian Soyantison. Brian, real quickly, maybe you can give us a little self-introduction and tell the listeners about yourself.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I am Brian, and I am a transfer student from the community college here about fall of 2018, and now I'm actually reaching my almost last semester. Spring 2020 is when I'm projected to graduate, and I hope to find a job in the multimedia field.
And Rebecca, last but not least, maybe tell the listeners a little about yourself.
Hello, my name is Becca Colburn. I'm a multimedia student here. I started here 2014, fall semester. I'm from Bakersfield. I originally wanted to pursue a career in animal science, so I did a big change. I'm hoping to graduate this semester.
So Candace, I want to start with you. And I guess before we start talking specifically about the MCJ-118S class, just talk just a little bit about service learning and what drew you to it. Just as a quick reintroduction, we talk about service learning a lot on this show. It's not the same as volunteerism in that service that's required as part of a course. The service is directly related to the course content. So students aren't just going out and picking up litter. They're studying content in the course. They're doing service directly related to that content. And then through what's called reflection, the students and the faculty members connect the course content to their service and vice versa. So the idea is that it improves student learning that takes place through the course, and it also improves the value of the service that's provided to the community. So all that said, Candace, what is it about service learning that attracted you?
Well, we're a media creation organization, and so we make messages to the community. And so the linking to the community was a natural. We were already actually doing that before I really understood the idea of service learning, but we were actually pretty much doing that. And then I've gotten more involved in it. I've gone to trainings, and I don't know if you know this, but I am the chair for a national organization's service learning division of the Broadcast Education Association, and actually was the person that came up with the idea and got some colleagues, and we all realized it was a really big deal. So this goes on at universities across the country, probably around the world, but we're a national organization in media particularly, so that was our focus. So we all realize how important it is to do real projects for real people that have a real impact. And so service learning seems like such a natural thing to be part of.
Yeah, as opposed to just studying about how to make a video or studying the process of communication with a client and studying what a contract might look like. They're actually walking this whole thing through during one of these video projects. And it used to be called, if I'm not mistaken, corporate media. Correct, or corporate video, and have since changed the name of the class a little bit to really reflect that work with the nonprofit, not-for-profit organizations.
Yeah, when we went through the officialized process of turning into a designated service learning class, part of that involved making the name a little bit more broad, because the reality was we've been working with nonprofits, but what you do with a nonprofit, much of that's going to correlate in a for-profit organization. Yeah. Some of it won't, which is what makes it maybe more interesting, and we get a little more passionate because of the missions of some of the organizations that you work with. It's kind of hard to not get sucked into their mission, really. But it's good experience no matter who you are actually producing these kinds of videos for.
So you started this class back in about 2013 or so. Maybe, like you said, it was sort of operating this way before that. The class basically is helping to produce these videos for the community partners. The students go through the whole process just like they were running their own little business and had a client, and they help develop the script and do all the video, the editing, all of the sound stuff, everything, right? And they provide these videos, what, 3 to 5 minutes long? Is that about right?
It varies, but it's a semester-long project. So we front-end the class with discussion about the different kinds of corporate media and approaches and budgets and proposals, and we even have a client meeting, and you'll meet one of our clients in a moment. So there's a lot of that in the beginning, and then the students are working on their project. So it really is pretty much a senior-level class. We don't designate it that way, but the prereqs and experience, I really don't teach anymore how to shoot a camera per se. The assumption is you're taking all the skills you've been developing, and now you're learning about, in many ways, the managerial aspect, the communication, the client relations, budgeting. So I know for some of the students in class, it's the first time they had to worry about a budget and write a proposal, and how do I communicate someone else's message, not my own message? And so the whole semester then, 2/3 of it at least, is actually really hardcore working on the projects, getting them all the way through the process. And then we have numerous one-on-one team meetings where we look at each stage, each deliverable, the proposal, a script outline. We've been looking at videos because we're finishing them up. So we're doing lots of feedback between myself and with the students.
Yeah.
So yeah, it takes the whole semester. Yeah. So it's,
and you talk about the hardcore work that goes on. I mean, I know students put in sometimes 100 hours or more on these projects. They work in small teams, 3-4 students on a team, generally speaking. And you work with a number of clients or community partners. Who are some of the former clients and who are the current clients?
Well, let me do the current first,
sure.
And then I'll have to think through some of the past, because there's been a lot, because I've actually started with community clients in 2006.
Wow, okay.
And then since 2004, we've had a number of iterations as a service learning designated class. But this semester, we're doing the Fresno City College Transfer Center. So that's kind of interesting. One of my alumni now works there, and she had taken this class, and she connected us with her boss. So
okay.
That's kind of an interesting, the state university's helping out the community college. As you know, the Richter Center is also one of our clients and has been a client periodically. We're actually, what is this, the third time in this sort of ongoing series of videos related to those who participate in service learning. We have the Labrador Retriever Rescue Fresno organization, which you'll hear from Brian more about that because he's producing that one. And then the Fresno Unified School District Athletics Department, I'm sure Pat can say more on that. And the student producer and the client is here. And that's one that we've been doing. This is our third iteration. So we sometimes have one-time clients. We've done Stone Soup a couple times.
Yep.
We did Grid Alternatives. We've did Every neighborhood
partnership.
Yeah, partnership, Reading and Beyond.
Exceptional Parents Unlimited
was
a really
great
video.
That one. We still show that in class. Yeah. And so it's a quite large number, Red Cross, Community Food Bank. We've been getting clients that the service level they provide to the community has gotten to be much bigger and broader in some cases. So that's been kind of exciting to see over the years.
And these are very professional level videos. I mean, I've seen many, many of them, if not all of them, over the last 6 or so years. And they're fantastic. The students do an incredible job.
Can I talk about the one, that special one we actually did for the California, the whole system.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So,
the entire CSU system.
Yeah, so it was kind of interesting. We've been doing the series with you, and I guess my impression was you were showing it off to the folks in the chancellor's office, yeah. And they realized, whoa, we don't need to go out and shoot something new. We already have this awesome material. So then they worked with a couple of my students who had been in service learning the class in the past to create this sort of composite video that got shown for the 20th anniversary of service learning in the whole system. And I went down last summer when they had their reveal of the video. And so it was a pretty cool, kind
sure,
of exciting.
The trustees,
yeah,
I
went. I heard the day after I heard from our president, trustees, you umpteen people who knew me that were there. So it had a really impactful reach. Yeah. And it was like a secondary benefit of work we'd already been doing.
Yeah. And another way that the students were involved in a project and getting that out. And speaking of the students, Becca, you and Pat worked together on your video for Fresno Unified. I wonder if you can tell us a little bit about that video that you developed.
For the video that we worked on with Fresno Unified School District, we worked with Pat Riddlesprigger. And he is part of the athletics department there. And so he came to us and he said, there's kind of been a problem with bad sportsmanship throughout their schools, and not only their schools, but it's been a problem throughout the whole nation. So he asked us, can you guys do a short PSA video promoting good sportsmanship? We want to target not only the student athletes, the teachers, the coaches, the officials. We also want to target the parents.
Yeah,
because
the parents. They're worse than the kids, I think, a lot of time.
They're part of it, too. So we got together. We planned it out. We did a script for them. So all the students that were a part of the video, they knew exactly what to say. We did a video, and it turned out to be almost 2 minutes. It's a short, sweet video, and hopefully it brought the message across. It was a good experience.
Well, and that two-minute video, I mean, you're talking hours and hours of preparation,
yes,
filming, yes, the editing. I mean, how many hours do you think that you and your teammates put into this?
So it all starts with pre-production, and that's just writing the scripts, knowing who do you want in the video. And so we decided that we needed at least one school to do the PSA video because it's a whole school district. So We want everyone to feel like they're a part of the video. But for our sake, it's kind of hard to go to every school. So we just targeted one school. We also wanted students from different sports to be a part of the video because we don't want to necessarily target one sport.
Right.
So we got someone from volleyball, someone from football, golf. We got a lot of students from different sports.
So you're having to shoot video of all of that,
yeah,
then edit it down into this nice, concise, but impactful PSA.
Yeah.
And so all semester long project, what would you say that some of the most significant learning that you gained from being involved in this?
There is a lot that I learned during the process of that one PSA video. A lot of problems that we actually had were technical difficulties and making sure all the equipment is properly put together. We had missing pieces. We had problems with audio and knowing your surroundings and making sure that your audio is going to be the best it can be. Because we also had like a problem with the air vent, and we had a boom and it was directing towards the air vent. So we had problems with getting clear audio.
And those are things that you can study about sound and sound editing and video and video editing. But until you get in and you experience, you realize, wow, there are so many different things that can impact this.
Mm-hmm. And it was a trial and error because we actually just scrapped the whole video together the first shoot. Uh-huh. And so we reshot the same video and had more people come in the second time. So it was a lot better than the first shoot that we did.
And important lessons that you learn by failing. Sometimes you learn the most important lessons and you get a chance to go over and redo it again. Just like you would have to do if this was a paying client, you'd have to make it right and go back and do it again and fix the problems.
Yes.
So Pat, before we talk about the video, I guess, maybe we can talk just a little bit about the overall picture of athletics in Fresno Unified and your job.
Fresno Unified Athletics, I'm not sure if you're familiar with Fresno Unified, but we're the third largest district in the state of California.
Yeah.
We have well over 73,000 students, 10,000 employees. We have 7 comprehensive high schools that we primarily support, in my role, primarily support with athletics. Each one of those high schools have approximately 24 varsity sports. And then we have some other auxiliary sports that we help support with as well. And it's a lot. It's a lot. I can't think how many student athletes, male and female. I can't think of this precise number. If I'm a guessing man, at per site, it's anywhere between 300 to 400 kids per site. So they're engaged in some form of athletic activity.
So across the district, a couple thousand maybe more.
Yes.
And like you say, you know, 24 different sports approximately, a lot of diversity in those events. Yes. And you've worked with Candace now. This is the third time around.
Yes.
What are a couple of the other videos that
When we first started here, there's a professor here. Everyone needs a coach. You know, I come from a coaching background, and everyone needs a coach. So I have a coach here on campus at Fresno State by the name of Dr. Wade Gilbert.
Absolutely. Hello, Wade. Yes. Shout out to Wade.
And you know what? We got together when I first came into the role that I'm in, trying to establish our core values. What do we believe, or what are strong values that we believe that our kids should have, coming from a Fresno Unified School, and not just one particular school, but throughout the entire district. And we did our first video on our core values of Fresno Unified. And it came out fantastic. We still use that. We have an induction class that we try to get all new coaches into. And we show the video there constantly, just trying to streamline it. So it's a constant work in progress. And it's been fun.
Yeah.
So that was a huge success. Our second video was at the second year we were introducing Unified Sports, which is basically soccer, and you're pairing a kid's needs, and we call them Unified Athletes, with a general ed kid, and we call them partners, and playing a team sport, and we did basketball and soccer our first year.
Okay.
So we did a video around that. And then this year, as Rebecca said earlier, and it's just not a Fresno Unified problem. You see it all. If you're on Twitter, if you see it all, if you're watching TV, you see sometimes people start living the game a little bit too much. And all of a sudden, behaviors are displayed in a not nice way. So, you know, we wanted to create a video using our own coaches, using our own student athletes, talking about sportsmanship. And I thought it came out perfect.
Yeah. And I think you're right. As a parent of Clovis Unified students, I've seen it at their sporting events. Parents get real worked up. That's their kids down there, you know, on the floor, on the mat, out on the field. And they get worked up and they get invested and maybe a little too over invested. And unfortunately, as we've seen through pro sports, college sports, high school sports across the country, we've seen situations where this can get out of hand, turn into some really significant violence and some real tragedies. And so I think it's an important topic to be able to address with the students, with the coaches, with the parents.
So true. So true. I think it's our job, and we're in the educational business. So it's our job to educate not only our students, but educate our parents, educate our coaches, educate our community about what is sportsmanship and what it looks like. And your kids are out here having fun. So don't steal the fun from them. Allow them to actually come out here, participate in their sport and enjoy themselves.
As opposed to doing this with a company, you know, that might cost tens of thousands of dollars, what's it like working with the students on this?
You know what? Students are amazing. When we started this a couple years ago, and you know, you have this idea, you have this concept in your head, and you just share it with them, and all of a sudden, what you shared with them, they go to work, and they create it, and they start putting it on paper, and then all of a sudden, they come back to you, and here's the estimated cost, and here's what it's going to look like, and then all of a sudden, you come back, and here's the video, and you're like, wow. You know, someone was inside of my head and they actually took this and they put it out there and they did a fantastic job of doing it
with it.
Exactly.
Yeah, great. So, Brian, I want to bring you in real quick. You worked with a Labrador Retrieval Rescue Fresno group. Tell us about that group and about your video.
This semester, we were able to work with the Labrador Rescue of Fresno, and we were actually really fortunate because that group of individuals that wanted to have this video produced, they've always been on our side. So, like, I feel like we got really, really lucky.
So what was the focus of your video?
Our focus was to spread the awareness of this nonprofit organization. Their main thing was that they wanted people to know about them and that they're also a nonprofit, meaning that there's no money coming in unless there's donations.
Yeah.
And so their donations came from Facebook. And on Facebook, there's a lot more of the like the older generation of people. So they would donate their money, but they wanted to reach a bigger median. So they wanted a bigger video to go on the website and a shorter video to go on like their Instagram or Twitter, something smaller that we can produce. And so with that, they wanted to not only spread their awareness with that, they also wanted to do like a promotional video to where you learn how to take care of a dog.
Yeah. So you have to be familiar with not only the preparation of the video, but also with what format, what length is going to work best for this social media platform versus this social media platform, and make sure you're able to get the message across on those platforms in the correct way.
Yeah.
And so how many people on your team?
In total, including me, there's three.
Okay. How much time do you think that you put in on this project personally?
Feels like about 50 plus hours.
Yeah.
I don't even feel like I'm exaggerating at that point. I remember putting the script together took a while because, you know, starting something from nothing is really, really hard.
Yeah.
And then also, you know, considering what we do as a major or something as a future career, it takes a lot more time to understand, like, you know, I want this shot. So what lens am I going to use for this shot? What frame rate are we going to use for this shot? How many cameras do we want? Where are we going to go? And who's good at what? And I was really fortunate to have my team as well. So shout out to my friends, Jose and Jesus. Jesus is one of those guys I can always count on for editing, film work. And he's like my go-to guy. And then I got super lucky with Jose because he's an audio fanatic. I kid you not, this guy has his headphones on 25 hours out of the 7 days a week. And it's just so funny because, like, I never met someone that loves working with audio so, so much that he's like, oh, I got it. H4, got it. I got it, guys. Yeah. It's like, oh, thank goodness.
So you can really rely on each other's specialties in these teams. And because of that, you learn from them, they learn from you out of your specialty. And what you get, like Pat said, is just this amazing end result.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So if you didn't have this project where you worked with a real client, what do you think you learned through having this client and producing a real video that you might not have learned otherwise?
I think definitely the aspect of having an actual client on the other end, because if I didn't have this class, I think I would be very unprepared to communicate with anyone, have realistic expectations of how to coordinate with someone, and also like putting together like a budget and feeling confident. Now that I feel confident doing all this kind of stuff, I know how to work with a client and I know what to expect from a client.
Yeah. And now, I want to be clear, we've talked about budgets and costs and things like that. There are costs in terms of the equipment and the time and whatnot, but those costs, there's no expense passed on to these clients. So they are free videos to these nonprofit clients. So the Labrador Rescue Group gets a professionally produced video for free.
Right.
So that's the service that comes out of it for them and the learning, that impactful experience of actually having the client, going through this process, working in a team, fixing problems that you've encountered, all of that is got to be a real rich learning experience.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely something I wouldn't trade anything in the world for.
Yeah. So Candace, I want to kind of conclude maybe with some of your thoughts about this. You talked about being a professor here, an instructor here for more than 30 years, and you've seen the traditional and probably have taught in, maybe still do at times, teach in a very traditional lecture format. And now you've had so much experience with service learning. What's the value for you as an instructor? What do you see students taking away from this? And do you think that they could get this in any other way?
Yeah, it's been kind of interesting because I've seen just through this class's evolution since 2006 and thinking back to the sort of okay, but not great material we were able to produce then and how far we've come. So technology has helped us out a lot. So we can produce the same quality or better than anyone else. So we don't have the obstacle of the capability. We may have challenges like Becca talked about and getting it all to work, but we're not like on marginal equipment anymore. So that means Pat gets a video that's competitive from anybody could produce it. And then it's up to us to apply our knowledge, expertise, our creativity. And I think that's exciting. And that's where this kind of class is important. And something too, so many projects during your academic career, we do a lot of teamwork in MCJ. So there's some individual, lots of team, which is maybe different than other majors. But you're coming up usually with your own idea or you're getting a little bit of a prompt. But it's all you and you live or die as to how much effort or interest or time you had. And sometimes that's the end of it. The teacher looks at it, you see it in class, and that's over. These projects live on.
They
and
sure
the
do.
The standards that you need to aim at have to be higher. And I think over time, that's become a much bigger part of MCJ because we have some other courses and opportunities where the work is out there. Community sees it. It helps people. You're not in isolation. And I just feel like at this point, the standard of production and storytelling and effectiveness is much higher because we kind of are building on a tradition of actually, this is real work. The only difference is they're not writing a real check.
Yeah.
We do a budget. We say how much these are worth from $5,000 to $10,000.
And you're not getting paid, right, Becca and Brian?
And we tell, and you know, it's like it's an in-kind donation to the organization. But as Brian said, it's a chance to work through the reality of how do you track a budget? How do you create a budget? Ooh, boy, we were way off when we come to the end. So that the next time he does a budget where there's real dollars, it's going to be much more realistic. So it bridges. And I've had students who have in at least one case got hired to do another project after they graduated because the organization was so pleased and they got some special funding so they could pay some money.
Yeah.
So, and I have other students that gone right into working as like the sole media person for an organization, and they're utilizing all, they understand all these things now, so they're able to jump right in and make it happen, where I think without the course, it would be a hairy experience. If you guys imagined you walked into workplace last semester and were said, hey, got to do this project, and your boss walks away, that could be pretty scary, where I think they have such great foundation to build on. And all the problem solving, because every group's had problems, and that's the reality. I do these videos myself all the time, and it's mainly finding solutions to problems and then drawing on having solved them before gives you more ideas. So I'm actually not upset when they don't go perfectly, because I feel like you learn more when they don't.
I agree. I think that's something, you know, we learn from failure much more so than when we just succeed. So,
well, I won't even say it's not even just failure. Yeah. Because Pat's been awesome. But we've had clients that have been a problem. And not every client in the real world is going to know what they're doing. Yeah. Or they make weird decisions. They change at the last. They can't figure out what they need to get done. And so having to figure out how to guide them. So that's where having a challenges mean you're going to be better prepared when you go out and you run into the situation where the client isn't quite right on.
Well, I know from personal experience, both through the Richter Center and also through working with many of these nonprofit clients that you've dealt with and helped produce these videos for, you know, as you say, these projects live on and they are high quality, and the process is not always real smooth with the students, but it's a wonderful process and what's produced is fantastic. And I think behind the scenes, so to speak, that the clients and the community doesn't see is the tremendous learning that students get. And the MCJ department here at Fresno State, thanks to faculty members like you, Betsy Hayes, Jess Thirkelson, and many others, is really an engaged department. They involve their students in this quote-unquote real-world learning outside of the classroom and really getting in and mixing it up and finding out, this is the information we're learning in the class. This is the need that it fills in the community. Here's how it all comes together. And so thank you for that. Thank you for the videos. We're going to post some of these older videos up to our Facebook site at FS Service in Action. We've always got lots of great information up there. So, you know, I invite everybody who's listening to go to that site, the at symbol FS Service in Action. And you can take a look at a couple of these videos. You can see the kind of quality that we're talking about. And you can also get a sense of what it takes to make a video like that. We're not talking about something shot off their iPhone, that's for sure. So one last thanks to our guests, Pat Riddlesberger from Fresno Unified School District, and Candace Egan, Becca Colburn, and Brian Soyan-Tisan, all from Media Communication and Journalism and the Nonprofit and Corporate Media Projects class. And always a special, special thanks to all of you who are listening. We love bringing the show to you each week. We certainly enjoy hearing from you. So go to that Facebook site, the at FS Service in Action Facebook site. Drop us a note. Maybe you've been involved in one of these projects before. Maybe you were the recipient. Maybe you've seen these videos. We'd love to hear your stories, your feedback about the show and about this work. And of course, please join us again next week when we bring you another inspiring, positive show that shares the stories of good people doing great things in our community. We are Fresno State Service in Action. We're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at kfsr.org. Thanks and have a great day.
KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action every Sunday morning at 11. For a complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.